While I will mention in my sermon one of Luther's least favorite epistles, in the book of Romans he found much comfort and reassurance for his belief that it was faith, not works, that would save us. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed through faith, for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, it is to your word we turn again and again in our lives, seeking wisdom, seeking courage, seeking strength and seeking hope for the living of our days. We thank you, O God, for your word that is accessible to us as people of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the benefits of not being able to be as active as usual this fall has been that of having lots of time to read. I remember reading about Luther in seminary when I was 21, but along with lots of other learnings at that point in my life, they were simply stepping stones to get me to the career that awaited me. But reacquainting myself with his life and faith over the past month has been not only a learning experience, but a profound experience in deepening my own faith. And I want to share with you this morning some of the things about his life and his faith that have been especially meaningful for me. Luther's experience of faith was not just an experience of the head, but also of the heart. One of the books I read over the past month speaks of Luther's theology not as a doctrine, but as a love affair. Throughout his life, he wrestled with a sense of his own unworthiness and found it almost unbelievable that God could and would actually extend grace to one as undeserving as him. I'm pretty certain that his sins paled in comparison to most of ours, but nonetheless, it leaves me wondering how many of us really grasp the wonder and the beauty of God's grace and God's forgiveness, of God's redemptive love. How many of us even live with the notion that we could perhaps use a touch of grace. How many of us appreciate what a marvel it is to be loved without condition, to be offered gracious forgiveness time and time again that allows us freedom from our past and an opportunity to begin anew. Luther embraced that knowledge not just with his mind, but also with his heart and soul. Luther spent time engaging Scripture. While we know that he believed in the supremacy of Scripture and translated the Bible into German to get it into the hands of the people and out of the hands of the priests, his emphasis on the supremacy of God's word was not as literal as we might think. For instance, the book of James troubled him greatly with its insistence that faith without works is dead. That was too close to what Luther was spending his life fighting against, the notion that we might have to buy our way into heaven with good deeds we do in this life. The book of James for him seemed to counter his belief that faith was the only important connecting point between us and God through Scripture. Through grace, which breeds faith, are we saved, and through faith alone. And that reminded me that we need to engage Scripture in a similar way. We need to read and reread passages and engage them in conversation. We need to converse with individual authors so that we know, for instance, which gospel is our favorite, so that we know why we prefer one epistle over the other. Not so much to form our own little private individual canon, but so that Scripture is alive for us. Not just something that is read for us and to us on Sunday, because if that is the case, why did Luther bother to wrestle it from the hands of my kind anyway? The swaddling cloths in which Christ lies. Those were Luther's words about Scripture, beautiful and poetic, embodying the essence of God's word. Luther gave voice to his faith through writing. I knew Luther was a prolific writer, but I didn't realize until I began searching for appropriate hymns for this worship service how many hymns were penned by Luther. Most of which, of course, have tunes you would not have appreciated. That's why, after 3 hours of hymn searching, we're only singing one of his hymns today. But as I read the lyrics of his hymns, I was reminded of how important it was for him not just to vocalize his faith, his questions, his doubts, his certainties, but also to express his faith through writing. And it made me wonder how many of us think in our busy lives to jot down some musings, eloquent or not, so that someday when our children are throwing out everything that was precious to us, as children do, maybe they'll pause over something in our own handwriting and gain some insight into our souls. Luther lived his life with passion. Last week we talked about the importance of authenticity, of integrity. Luther's passion for his faith did not prohibit him from enjoying his beer or from living his life fully. That speaks of one whose life and faith were fully integrated. Whether he be in the pulpit or at the pub, the man was the one and same man who approached all of life with enthusiasm and passion. We talked about this last week, so I will say no more, but a worthy goal for which we should strive, and one we also should appreciate in others. And speaking of passion, Luther would have died for his faith, for truth, for what he believed was right. In the end, he was spared his life, unlike many others. But there is no doubt that he would have given his life if that had been necessary. So convinced was he of the need for reform. Again, the theme of integrity is strong in the way he lived out his beliefs in a public forum. His intention was to reform what was, but when it became clear his challenge to the church was going to lead to major upheaval and change, he did not back down. He did not recant his challenges. He became even more determined to stand strong and to forge ahead. How strong, I wonder, is our commitment to our faith? Forget a willingness to die for it. Are we simply willing to verbalize to others what it means to us to gather in this place on a Sunday morning? Are we able and willing to talk about the strength and the courage that we find in coming together to sing hymns of the faith and to hear the word of God revealed through Scripture? Are we willing to be known publicly as followers of Jesus Christ? Not just among other believers, but in a world sometimes hostile or indifferent to our faith? I sometimes think the challenge that Greta Vosper, the atheist minister, and others like her have brought to our church have been good challenges. But I wonder if most of us have forgotten now that things are quiet, that we need to be clear that we believe in a Trinitarian God and we will not cave on that important basic tenet of our faith tradition. A little more passion for what we believe would not be a bad thing. Luther loved the church and wanted it to be the most faithful expression of belief in and adherence to the word and way of Jesus Christ that it could possibly be. Obviously, he had no clear notion of what the church of the future would look like, but he knew it had to be different than the church of the past and the present, and he was committed to working for that change. How strong, I wonder, is our commitment to the church of Jesus Christ in this day and age? Are we willing to be open to the possibility of change, of transformation? Would we be willing to embrace it? Would we be willing to fight for it? Are we willing to let go of what we think the church should be to allow God's Spirit to direct us and His church to the future. We'll be talking about that a little bit at our last session on the Reformation a week from Wednesday. Now listen, I'd rather not come to work tomorrow and find that all of you have wandered over here this afternoon with your hammers and posted your own 95 ideas about reforming our church on the church door. But I would like to think that we've all learned some important lessons from Luther that might inform the future of our individual lives of faith and also the life of our church. Live boldly and with passion. Approach your faith not just with your mind, but with your spirit and your soul. Stand up for what you believe is right and be prepared to keep standing when others would rather you back down. Beyond all else, believe in the grace of our God. Accept that grace and live as people forgiven and free. And give thanks always for those brave souls of the past who have gone before us, risking all because of faith. May their example inspire us and empower us and the Church of Jesus Christ as we move to the future with hope and with confidence.